Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Hey, that's who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 903 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined right now by Scrap Iron, Phil Garner, former player and manager here for your Houston Astros, joining us to talk about last night's game. Gar, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. And look, let's talk about the game. I thought you got me on here just to shame me because you beat me in the memory gas out at Carlton Woods this past week.
So we played, me and Justin played Gar and his son, Trey, and
yeah.
It was fun. Not for Gar. It wasn't fun for the Garners, but it was fun for us. And the bet was, okay, Gar, if we beat you, you have to come on the show, and if you beat us, you don't have to come on the show. So
that didn't seem like a great yeah.
No, he's
playing for his livelihood there.
Yeah. So he's got to join us here because we got a little lucky and beat them in the member guest this weekend. So. Okay, first let's talk about this. Let's talk about them picking and not throwing strikes, Gar, early on in this baseball game. 5 walks in the first couple 3 innings, and it just seems like they're afraid to attack the zone until Javier comes in, and he just said, "You know what? I'm going after it. You hit it. If you don't, you don't."
Well, that's what it looked like, and. The walks have killed us in this series. It seems like some of these big innings they've had, it's all been preceded by a walk or two that's been issued, and they've taken advantage of it. And we all know, John, you know, as much as you watch this game, you have against a good hitting team, which Boston is a good hitting team. Number one, you can't issue walks. Number two, you can't pitch from behind. And we're doing that a lot. And thank goodness Javier came in last night and pretty much attack the zone, but I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to really attack the zone. And you know, the old baseball adage that if you get 2 strikes, you know, you nibble, you don't show them something that they can get good wood on that. If you have 2 strikes and no balls, I'm kind of thinking that's not such a good eye sometimes, because the next time we turn around, it's 3-2 before you know it, and the advantage goes back to the hitter in that situation. So I like the way the kid did last night. He came in, he went after him. He did go 3-2 a couple of times, but on balance, he went after the hitters, made him put him in play. And he finally pitched inside. Somebody's got to pitch Kiki Hernandez inside, and we did that last night. We got him out we got him out 4 times.
Phil Garner, former Astros player and manager, joins us right now. Gar, I was of the mindset, I was of the mind about the third inning, you realize, man, these Red Sox are basically like, you're facing the Astros. I mean, they great plate discipline. Alex Cora's over there. If anyone can pick up a tip pitch, it's going to be him. And they just are really dangerous when you throw strikes. But so the Astros kind of have to say, well, what would our hitters do? How would our hitters approach a pitching staff? And you may have to pitch accordingly, but getting ahead early in the in the count, clearly.
Well, last night, though, they were ahead 0-2, and then they fell behind 3-2.
Well, because that team has discipline, and they will spoil pitches. Yeah, like, yeah. That's a really, really good lineup. Well, let me ask you this. How do you balance your healthy respect for a devastating lineup with also saying, hey, you know what? We're professionals who get paid, too. Let's go out there and trust our stuff every once in a while and just put, you know, and just trust our location.
Well, it's the age-old question, and that's what happens when you have, you know, and we've got some young kids in that bullpen, and even in our starting rotation, relatively young, even though they've had some, you know, a couple of years of big league experience now. that's the big deal is when you face a team that's a really good hitting team, you tend to want to be careful. So you're throwing the ball with not great you're worried that they're going to hit it, you know. And so if you're a little bit intimidated by that, then you don't throw with conviction was the word I was looking for. And I'm always reminded of Doug Brokell. You guys will remember Doug Brokell when he pitched at Houston. I had him in Detroit, and, you know, I'd always refer to him when I'm talking to a young pitcher about throwing strikes. Doug Brokell had a very average fastball, and he had a plus curveball. But he threw his fastball with conviction. He didn't think anybody could hit it. And consequently, very few people did. And but he threw it for slice to get ahead, and then it made his curveball even that much better. So you've got to get it in these young kids' head. Look, yes, they're a good hitting team, but you're going to make them a great hitting team if you try to pitch behind. So if you start nibbling, if you start trying to throw the ball up there to keep them from not hitting it, and then you get behind, then you're in real trouble then, and that's when you got to go get them out of the ballgame. So you have to teach them to pitch the contact. And I'm telling you, I'm also amazed in all these playoffs that I've watched this year, and even last year too, the balls that are getting hit out of the ballpark are right down the middle of the plate. They're missing, you know, the third of the plate. They're hitting the middle third of the plate instead of the outside third or the inside third. It's really hard if you're throwing the ball 90, you know, and most of these guys are 94 or better. If you're throwing the ball in the outer third or the inner third, it doesn't get hit three or four times in a row. So if you get the ball, you don't have to throw it on the outer fifth of the plate. Just get the outer third or the inner third of the plate, and you can have some success with the way these guys are throwing the ball. And you have to pound that in their head. Yeah. Can't let them pitch being afraid.
Yeah, and Kike, who you mentioned a little bit earlier, they pounded him on the fist, and he pops it up to Maldonado, and that was huge. But they came inside on him, and he had him. So he didn't have himself a night, like you said. Did you like the move of bringing Eovaldi in? I know he's got a. What'd you think about that? And he's got a throw, right? Because he's got his start, so you might as well throw him in the game. Did you like that?
Well, you know, all of a sudden, I'm not. Your volume is a little bit low, and I think you asked me about Eovaldi, bring him in that situation. And, Boston's got a good bullpen. There's several guys out there that have been pitching all year in that role. It's not like, you know, you've got some weak sisters out there you're trying to manage around. They're pretty solid. So it's always hard for me to second-guess a manager because he knows his staff and he knows his personnel better than anybody, and he knows who he wants in there in a crucial situation. But, you know, over the years, it's been mixed results bringing starters back on short days rest and bringing starters in to try to close out a game for you in those kind of situations. So, you've always got great stuff. I'm just watching him pitch. He's got great stuff. So I would think that Cora probably has great confidence in him. But last night it was Houston's night to get him, and I'm real happy about that. Maybe we put a little doubt in his mind, too, the next time he's going to have to start against it.
What do you think the mindset is going into this? Just so huge. It was like a boxing match where you just want to steal the last 10 seconds of the round and take that scorecard. And, well, you got it all the way to the eighth. You stayed alive, and then you did what you do best. That's got to lead to a lot of confidence to lead off this game against a guy, frankly, Chris Sale, who hasn't pitched all that well over his last three or four starts.
Well, I agree with you, and I do believe, you know, also that was a big plus for our guys because we had some guys that were really struggling. Our key guys, you know, look at the top of that lineup. They had really struggled. And you know, for us to win these kind of ball games where they're going to be run scored, generally speaking, we've got to have those top four or five guys really on their game. And so Altuve struggled average-wise. Brantley has not been right. For me, neither Bregman since they came back from the injury. They just haven't struck the ball as well as they normally do. So seeing Brantley had come up with a big hit last night, now we got to get Bregman back again. And And let's remind Correa to run hard out of the box when he hits the ball.
That's right. Yeah. That should have been an easy triple. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, those are the kind of things that frustrate a manager, you know. Maybe he can't make third, but he had made the decision he wasn't going to make third when he came out of the box. He shouldn't make that decision until he gets about 10 feet from second, running hard.
Phil Garner with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You and I were talking. You had a pitcher that you had to convince him to throw that sinker. And it's such a valuable pitch, Gar. Are you seeing enough a guy who's got a good sinker to throw that and let the guys pound it into the ground?
Yes. I'm 100% for that. You know, I think the modern-day pitcher, when you have good movement on your fastball, use your fastball in the bottom of the zone. A lot of these guys will hit it in the zone. Then if you get in trouble, a couple of guys get on base, now you may go to your secondary pitches. But, you know, these guys are working too hard today. They start off first pitch of the game. They'll throw a fastball. Then they'll throw a couple of sliders. Then another fastball. Gee whiz, I like the old – now, I'm old school in this, and I realize it doesn't work all the time, but it's still a pretty good way. When you've got a good fastball with good movement, a la McCullers and some other guys, you know, that we have on our staff, use that fastball until somebody hits it. You know, but use it down in the zone. Just throw it down the zone. They'll beat it to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, you said first time through the order, throw fastballs, right? And then and the second,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You don't have to strike everybody out to be a successful pitcher. As Don Sutton used to say when he came to the Astros years ago, and he looked at Nolan, and he said, "Nolan, you're working way too hard. You're striking out everybody. Throw three pitches and make them hit a fly ball somewhere or a ground ball." And it made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. So, Gar, what about the approach? Altuve said he didn't change his approach, but he swung at the first pitch of the game. He swung at the first pitch and homered. Being aggressive and yet wanting to make sure that pitcher works, how do you balance that as a hitter?
Well, I think for certain hitters, they do that. Bregman, Brantley, they can be very patient hitters, and they, you can take that approach and say, you know, you might want to take a look at the first pitch. Altuve, I would never tell him that. Altuve is an aggressive hitter, and he's at his best when he's aggressive from the first pitch on. And you can watch him sometimes, and sometimes you'll see him do a funny little, that bend down his knees when he takes that first pitch. He wasn't thinking about swinging the first or second pitch. I actually think he's much better, and he'll take a lot of those pitches, but you can tell when he's ready to swing. You know, he starts, you'll see the fingers on the bat start to move a little bit when the pitcher's getting ready to release the ball, and you know he's ready to hit when that's happening. And he's got to turn loose. Altuve is a lot like Biggio, in my opinion. He's the rare bird, and Biggio's the only other guy I thought that was successful at this, and Altuve is too. They start the bat and find the ball, and that's the way they have to hit. And that's why I thought Altuve never cheated, because if he knows what pitch is coming, it doesn't do him any good. He has to start the bat and then find the ball. That's the way he hits. So you got to let him. Got to let him be aggressive. He's going to look fooled a few times, but that's the way he's at his best. And when he's at his best, he's a lock Hall of Famer for me. So, and by the way, he's my favorite player, so I love watching him play.
What is it about this team, Gar? You've had some frustrating because you couldn't come. Look at the two-out runs that they're getting. The clutch hits that we've seen now for 5 years out of this team. It's, you know, is there a gene? I mean, does Carlos have a gene that's different? Or is it just, what is it? What is it about him that makes you clutch?
Well, number one, they're good. And there's let's give credit to the Astro front office. They've assembled some really talented and smart ball players. They're very confident. They're smart. They know what they're doing. And, they believe they're going to win. And I think that started with A.J. Hinch, and it's been carried on with with Dusty Baker, you know, the whole idea is, yeah, we were believing going to win. Now, in baseball, you know, you don't win them all. As a matter of fact, if you win 66% of the time, you're going to be in the pennant, probably the World Series. So you've got to accept that there's times you're going to look flat. You're going to look like you can't do anything, just like we did for the first 8 innings of that game last night. And then all of a sudden, here we go. And that's a mindset, but it's also talent. Not everybody can do that. And there's 28 other teams in baseball that can't do that, you know, or let's say 26 other teams that can't muster up that extra when you got to have it late in the ball game. And to be honest with you, it didn't look to me like they were going to come through. But I said to my wife, Carol, after the game last night, I said, boy, you just never can count them out. And that's the way these guys have been playing. And God bless them. They are fun to watch. And don't turn that TV off when you think it's over, because it's never over until the last out's made.
That's right. It's the most fun team that I've ever followed, being a lifelong Houstonian. I mean, The Rockets teams were really, really fun in the mid-90s, but, I mean, this team is just the heart that they have is just unbelievable. And you're right. It's different watching the games. You know that if they're within striking distance, they have that rare quality to come up clutch.
So Laz Diaz made the didn't call strike three, Gar. Do you have any Laz Diaz stories?
Well, none other than I would say I told you so. You know, we used to have a merit system for the umpires, and they were the ones that were in the playoffs in the World Series. And I thought it worked quite well. And I'm going to strike a little political note here. This everybody gets to participate is a pile of baloney. When you've got your best teams in the world playing, you need your best umpires out there. And God bless Laz. He wasn't one-sided one way or the other. There were a few calls missed out there right? And you know, Boston's going to claim they might have hurt them in the game. Well, let them whine about that. We had some that didn't go our way in key situations too. So I don't think he cost the ball game, but these guys are so good today that an umpire missing several calls on you gets in your head, and it means you have to swing at pitches late in the count that you wouldn't normally swing at, and that you're not sure he's going to call strikes or not. And so that's where, to me, it becomes an issue. And we had one go for us last night. We deserve that. So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, we had Tom Hallion, too. Don't forget how he...
Yeah, we did.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
We got Tom Hallion. So we might as well get Laz. Let Boston get Laz Diaz. We got Tom Hallion. So
that's right.
Yeah. Hey, Gar, we appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Let's play again soon so that you can come back on the show.
Well, I'm going to have to get some work in on my golf game to compete with you. You played extremely well.
That's all he does, Gar. He barely does anything other than play golf. Don't give him too much credit. He's basically on the tour.
Gar, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging.
Enjoyed it, guys.
All right. There's Phil Garner with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yes, the Captain Stu says Phil Garner interview amazing. So much insight. That is, he is. But, hey, that dude played, managed. He was telling me, he's like, man, just throw your damn fastball and throw your sinker and let him pound it in the ground. What are you doing? Trying to nibble, trying to get guys, strike out everybody. Let him hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they got to do. That's what the Astros got to do here today. Hopefully they will. All right.
The way, they are underdogs today. They're small underdogs. But you are not an underdog when you play with Underdog Fantasy. As a matter of fact, I saw two different people win the five-teamer. Basically, it's like a five-team parlay. They picked five over-unders correctly on player stats. One guy bet $5 and won $100. The other guy bet $10 and won $200. So this is real money. People are really winning with their skill level. And, yeah, it happens online at underdogfantasy.com. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio, and they're going to give you a $25 bonus on top of whatever your first deposit is. I was looking to see if I could find the baseball ones for the Astros, and they don't have that available just yet, but they will later on the site. And they don't have anything basketball-related on Rockets just yet. But listen, that's why you keep checking in. And of course, you got daily fantasy, so you can also draft your teams and win big that way. Larger ones, two team leagues, 14 leagues, 16 leagues for single game or single day drafts. That's going on as well. Or get a basketball season long best ball mania going on for basketball right now as well. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio. Do it today.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I thought it was, come on. When Bregman hit his homer, as soon as they came, you know, there's only three parks that would have been a home run in, by the way. Three parks. Fenway, Minute Maid, and one other.
Now you're starting to see. Now you're getting on board?
No, I'm just saying. I don't want to bitch about the announcers. I mean, bitching about the announcers is so...
I don't like doing it. I rarely do it. I just noticed yesterday that Buck has got to quit getting fooled by every fly ball because he's really giving me heart attacks. There it is, a long fly. And I'm like, oh, my God, wait a minute. Brantley's camping under something. It looks like it might actually be a catch. I thought that was past their train track and past their pumpkins and past their Mr. Smoky Pants. Mm-hmm. I assume they have. Do they have one at Fenway that we can't see where they have a train and a pumpkins?
No, they don't have pumpkins.
They have that guy that does this every time, Mr. Smoky Pants. Yeah, always.
That's all he does.
It's the same thing. He's got to get some new moves. The waving with his upward arm move.
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on. Like, come on, Smoky Pants. Do something different. Come up with a new move. Change it up.
Oh, Altuve. That would have been out anywhere, my brother, Altuve. We're just watching over and over. And you know, it's good that we have Robert Flores on MLB.
Keep things.
Yeah. MLB Network. So that somebody actually roots for the Astros and somebody actually likes when they do good. He's at Fenway right now doing a live show and laughing and having a good time because it's Astros. That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, why not? You got on the broadcast, Big Poppy literally is shown celebrating when the Red Sox score. And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gar says we still.
Yeah.
Garner is an Astro.
Yeah.
We can't give up on our boys. Look at us. Here's what we've got to do today. Like, Garner's still an Astro.
Yeah.
Big Poppy's a Red Sox. That's cool. I get that.
That's fine.
Frank Thomas, lifelong White Sox. Yeah. I get that. How about you guys throw somebody else up there? Although I'm trying to think who you'd put up there.
Bags. I mean,
Bags would be great, except he's not as lively as those other guys.
No, but he would give them the business. He low key, he would give them their.
You think
the
he
digs.
Would?
Oh,
he seems like kind of a polite guy. He didn't want to.
No,
Bags. Like, the way the game's supposed to
polite
be talked
guy.
About.
You ever hear him talk about Blummer?
Oh. Well, that's just them digging each other.
I know, but. If the Astros were beating the Red Sox, hey, Big Poppy, how'd that taste?
Can you imagine if Lima were alive?
If what?
Number one, I'm going to tell you this right now. If Lima, first of all, you can't believe that your team gave us 7 runs in the 9th inning. That's terrible, Big Poppy. What? They scored 9 runs, Big Poppy. You know that's terrible. You know, Eovaldi, terrible.
Like Lima on the broadcast, I was just thinking about it the other day. Like, God, man, we lost Lima so early. Lima,
well, how about him?
Lima's second
stage
of his career.
He'd be in studio with us every day.
He'd be incredible beyond his playing days. He would have had a brand new career, a brand new life.
What would he have said about the Astros being scared to throw pitches and just tiptoeing outside the zone?
Well, he couldn't say much. You didn't see him pitch in 2000.
No.
It was
Lima was literally horrified.
Lima was, do you think I am?
Lima was terrified when he walked in Enron as a visit. I went in there. He hadn't even pitched. Lima, we had him on the air. Lima, what do you think about the new stadium? I went in and, bro, that's very scary. To see that left field is like, what? You made it 3-10? It looks terrible. It looks very scary.
Yeah.
And he pitched like it was very scary. And he gave up 3 home runs against the Cubs.
To Sammy Sosa.
He gave up 3 home runs to the Cubs. I went to the game. I sat down after he'd given up one. I watched two. He left the stadium. Or he got kicked. I mean, he was chased early. And he wasn't an Astro much longer after that. Like that stadium.
No, and the rumor was that he gave up the homer to Sosa so that he could.
Oh, yeah. So he could try to get,
the record. Yeah. And he,
you know, at the time, I really crapped on it. Is it possible that Lima could have done that? It's possible.
929 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, Joel Embiid had we haven't even touched on this. Ben Simmons kicked out of practice, and Joel Embiid, you have to, if you haven't heard this, you need to hear what he had to say about it. You know what Coors Light is? It is the official beer of Game 5. You know what Coors Light is? It's the official beer of grilling hamburgers, Pete's Fine Meats hamburgers today. You know what Coors Light is?
That's good. It absolutely is.
It's the official beer of 7 runs in the ninth, because guess what was happening while 7 runs were being scored? It's the official beer of, you know, winning our flight in the member guest, like Gar told you. That's what we did. And trust me, there were plenty of Coors Lights flowing all weekend long at Carlton Woods. If you're looking for the best beer to make your official beer, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's the official beer of pretty much, I don't know, everything I do. And like, make it your official beer, too. You're going to love it. I love it. I'm going to tell you what. You're looking for an official beer of your life. It's Coors Light.
ESPN 97.5.
Talking about Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats.
You snuck in Pete's Fine Meats during your Coors Light.
I sneak in Pete's Fine Meats as often as I possibly can. Michael can't be a better guy. You'll love him. You tell him that you listened to the show and you came over and you wanted to meet. I'm going there today and I'm picking up the burgers, okay? The tri-blend or the Wagyu, I don't know. We're going to have to decide. This is a big decision.
Yeah, it's huge.
Or I might get half and half. And then you tell me which it is. Because I didn't think I'd ever had a better burger than the tri-blend. And then he gives me the Wagyu, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is awesome, too. So it doesn't matter what it is. You want ribs. You want pork chops. He can make them. And he'll cut them right there in front of you. He'll cut the filet right there in front of you. The rib eyes. How thick do you want it? What do you? It's unbelievable. They're prime. You don't have to get the Wagyu or the Kobe to get a great, great steak. You get a prime every single time.
Yeah, it's just prime steak makes such a big difference, and the quality of the meat makes such a big difference. But if you're not a meat person, you want chicken, they can do the spatchcock chicken. They've got shrimp there. They've got their own homemade bacon. They've got ribs. They've got it cooked if you want to take some food that's already cooked. And, of course, they have a deli there where you can get that Wagyu burger. You can order it and have it right there for lunch. So much to see. Great place to go get your charcoal, your wood pellets. I got a lot of stuff going on there. So Pete's Fine Meats, Richmond and Chimney Rock, Pete's Fine Meats, and follow them on Twitter at Pete's Fine Meats.
The Houston Astros face off with the Boston Red Sox in Game 5 of the ALCS. First pitch is today at 4:08. Now, back to the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
All right, there's a couple of things that we haven't even touched on yet. First of all, the Dodgers won, which sucks. We haven't even mentioned that. Bellinger with a 3-run home. Bellinger's starting to hit again, and that's a little problem.
Man, he hit a high fastball. He hit one that looked like a tough one to hit, and he yanked it out, and it's... Man, the Braves had them buried.
They showed his swing when he was struggling, and he was way out.
See where his hands were? Yeah, and he changed his hand place.
He changed his hands, and he stayed behind the ball, and he got so much quicker. Anyway, that sucked. They were up 5-2. I'm thinking, if the Braves take a 3-0 lead, how awesome! I don't want deaths at the ballpark, so I don't want the Dodgers to be around. Apparently, the NFL knew about the John Gruden emails in June.
I don't believe that. So where's this? TMZ? What disreputable place is saying that? Because I know Ian Rappaport's not saying
football
it.
Talk.
Yeah. See, Mike Florio's a shill for the anti NFL community.
Okay. So the league, here's what he said.
We don't listen
to him.
The
league knew about the John Gruden emails no later than June 2021. By waiting to bring the situation to a head in early October, the NFL undermined the Raiders' competitive interests and compromised the integrity of the entire season. Now, the Raiders did win this week, but they certainly, certainly things change when midway through a season you fire the coach, when in fact it could have all been done before the season started if they would have released these, but they waited for whatever reason. That is a bit suspicious. That is a bit suspicious. What breaking news do you have?
I got it. I see it. Eventually, there's one guy who, if he's on your roster, a quarterback, he will eventually start. No matter what you think Case you're going to do. There it is.
Well, he's got it because he's hurt.
Case Keenum's going to start for that's. But as soon as he made the roster, you knew, well, either he's going to play bad or somebody's getting hurt. But Case Keenum will always find his way into a starting lineup.
That changes my bet because
he's starting for the, by the way, starting for the Browns.
For the Browns. Yeah. With Baker hurt, there's no way you take them.
If
with
you
Case
hurry up
now
starting, you can still get the Broncos at +3.
You can still get the Broncos at
on my bookie if you hurry up and punch it in.
Oh my goodness, Case. Well, they probably think, oh, this is a downgrade. A lot of bettors will probably think it's not a downgrade. Case Keenum probably will kick ass tonight or tomorrow night and beat their ass. So guess who's going to get a little something on them? The Browns right now.
Are you really?
And then there's yes.
So you like it better because of Case?
Yes. Well, with an injured Baker, yeah. Absolutely.
It's off the board.
They took it off the board?
At least right. Well, now, maybe not on my bookie. Maybe my bookie still has
no,
it.
No, I got it right here. I'm taking the Browns -3 right here, right now. And then there is Ben Simmons. Apparently, Ben Simmons.
I don't want to do this defensive drill.
Doc Rivers said, okay, we got a defensive drill. Ben, get in here. And he said, no. And he's like, we're doing a defensive drill. Get in here. No. Okay, get out of practice. Well, Ben Simmons walked, and here is afterwards. Doc says, "I got to do what's best for my team." But here's Joel Embiid talking about his teammate. You don't hear this too often.
At this point, I don't care about that man. Honestly, he does whatever he wants. That's not my job. That's those guys' jobs. I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, play hard every night, try to lead, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, our chemistry has been excellent despite, everything that's been happening in the last few months. Like I said, I don't really care.
So that is, you do not hear. Now, this is a point of no return for Ben Simmons, isn't it? When Joel Embiid comes out and says, no, Joel Embiid wasn't flattering up to him in the offseason anyway, but when he comes out and says, I don't care about that man, whew, you can't, I don't know that there's been a situation like this, has there?
He's just not down with the team. What do you want to say? Like, Ben Simmons is a giant pain in the ass. Here's what you got. You got Daryl Morey, who refuses to take a bad deal. Because frankly, if Daryl had to do it all over again, I wonder if he would have sent. If he could go back in time and pull a David Culley, well, if I could do it again, I would trade Ben Simmons because this isn't worth the headache. But I can tell you one thing that Daryl Morey and their organization won't do that the Texans do. What they won't do is say, "You win. Please don't do anything that will cause us any uncomfortable moments," which he's already doing. What they say is, "Okay. Act a fool in practice, get kicked out, and we're gonna withhold your money. We're not paying you now." You know what the Texans do? Here, Deshaun, here's a giant envelope, here's a giant wheelbarrow full of money. Don't even come in. Let's just keep everything real friendly and kind and peaceful. And I'm assuming part of that is because they want him to be as open to as many teams as possible.
Well, trade wise,
they screwed up and gave him a no trade clause. And ultimately, they can't trade him unless Deshaun wants to go. So they need that to be that door to be as open as possible. I love the fact that Teddy Bridgewater's struggling recently because Denver's going to open back up. So you'll have Denver, you'll have Miami potentially. you need to have three teams in this race. And so to have that, I've heard Deshaun doesn't want to play in Philadelphia. At least that was his thought at one point. So Philadelphia fans can talk as much as they want about their draft picks they're going to have. If Sean doesn't want to be there, it's really, frankly,
irrelevant. I ain't buying Philadelphia anyway. It's true. He's a female advocate. I mean, for him to bring in would be so hypocritical.
Jeffrey Lurie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be super hypocritical for him to bring Deshaun.
No, it wouldn't be the first hypocritical thing that ever happened.
No. I mean, everybody's hypocrites in the sports world, so especially Boston fans.
No, it's kind of pissing me off. Like, come on, guys. Why, y'all are cheating with the Apple Watches. You got Alex Cora. Like, y'all aren't really saying F. Altuve, are you? You know he's going to hit a home run if you keep doing this. Sure enough, it took one extra at bat, but he eventually got his home run. Their fans were really on fire from pitch one. Like, man, good. That is a rowdy crowd.
Yeah, good. You know what happens then? Guess what happens? Oh, home run. Sorry, you lose. 7-run 9. Sorry, Laz Diaz. Suck it, Boston. All right, when we come back, news of the weird, finishing up strong here before we send it to Charlie Polillo and some real information. In the meantime, though, what about Texas Custom Patios?
Great job. Watched the game out there yesterday, of course, and I had to leave. I had to get back to where I knew for sure the Astros pitchers were better, which was my bedroom, because I am superstitious. But I can tell you I spent all Saturday and all Sunday on the patio watching football. It was fantastic. And today, the afternoon game, depending on what the weather is, I'll be out there. Probably since John already piqued my interest with that whole burger thing, I'll probably do the burgers today, make myself a late lunch and watch Astros baseball on the patio. Being able to go watch your games on your patio, listen to your music out there, enjoy friends and family members who come over. You can entertain them on a patio that is constructed and designed to look great and to really be unbelievably well-built with the best materials. It makes all the difference in the world. And if you want to see the work they do, look at my property before and after, what they did for my backyard at tcplance.com. You're going to be blown away at the work that they did for just me, and I have nothing special back there, but what they did made it special. TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Hey, time to talk about homecoming at TDECU Stadium this Saturday. Tickets start at just $20. To buy tickets, go to UHCougars.com, UHCougars.com, or you can call the box office at 713-GO-COUGS, COOGS. Get yours today. The Cougs 5-1 heading into the weekend. Got the best conference record. And get there early. There's going to be all kinds of fun and pageant. The tailgate is great out there. I tailgated at the last game. It was a lot of fun. You check out the expanded kids zone outside TDECU Stadium before the game. Presentation of the homecoming court at halftime, crowning the king and queen. Recognition of the 2011 football team during the game. And Case Keenum, after he plays on Thursday, is going to be there on Saturday. And he, by the way, he's starting for the Browns. Performances by the Spirit of Houston Band, entertainment by cheerleaders, Cougar Dolls and Shasta, and then they got the DJ Mai mixing it up for the student section. You're looking for a great time? I was out there the last game. It was a lot of fun. Go to UHCougars.com or call 713-GO-COUGS.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Have you ever, and this is, it's kind of gross because it stinks, but have you ever dropped a deuce on a plane, Lance?
I mean, I haven't not done it.
What? That, I guess that's an answer.
You have to sift through that little...
Yeah, right. Well, so where does it go? Where does that go? After?
Into that thing where it goes like this. You hit the button, you're like, hey, nothing happened.
Yeah!
Oh! You're set that, you've seen that little?
That little
tug?
There is some suction on that. Woo! There's no question.
It's a different kind of thing now.
Have you ever been standing in your garden and a plane flew overhead and then dropped all the dump on you in your garden? Knock on wood.
Up to this point, no. Don't have a garden. Haven't been I've had a bird do it, not a plane.
Well, a council meeting, a man was none too pleased with an airplane that flew overhead and dumped human waste all over him and in his garden. Now, the good news is that it is fertilizer, right? Is
yeah.
It? Yeah. So, I mean, it was good for, probably good for his plants, not so great for him. So, just, I would say this, you know, you don't want to stand behind a horse because it might kick you. Never stand underneath a plane because it might drop dump on you.
I don't want that to happen.
No. Right? There was a suspect in Adams County, Colorado. A driver who allegedly stole a U-Haul truck. Apparently, he called police and asked dispatch, could he please ask the deputies to stop chasing him after they found him and the stolen truck? It was around 1:40 a.m. Unfortunately for him, I know he called, and I guess he was pretty polite about it, but they did not stop chasing him. Do you think it's a good idea to call dispatch and say, hey, listen, can you ask the guys to stop chasing me in this stolen vehicle?
You could try. Hey, you know what? Why not give it a shot?
It's worth the effort, isn't it?
Well, sir, I mean, you going to do something for us? Yeah, I'll never do it again.
Yeah, promise.
How about that?
Promise.
I promise. Why would I lie to you?
Apparently, Huntsville, Alabama police have a bit of a quandary. A woman's body was found in a police van. Yeah.
How's that going?
So if I'm a cop, though, I think that's probably the last place I would hide a dead body.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it brings immediate suspicion.
I'm thinking that's
trouble. I think it's probably pretty smart of the murderer. Hey, let me put it in this police van.
Oh, what do we have here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure what this is going to be.
Do you have...
I had a good one. I had one that I can't find that I wanted to hit you with.
Do you have Google Chrome?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Most Americans do. Do you use their ad block?
Yeah.
You do? Well, unfortunately, Google Chrome has been found that they are injecting ads inside of their ad block.
Why is that not a huge...
No, it's not.
Why is that not a huge surprise?
Doctors in Egypt apparently have had a rough time in surgery. They had to extract a phone from a patient's stomach. The patient swallowed the device several months earlier, and unfortunately, I think a phone in your system is going to cause some problems.
It is always going to cause
problems. You think? Don't you think?
Yeah. Can I hit you with one, by the way?
Yeah, go ahead.
I bet you don't have this one.
Okay.
Do you have the Florida man and the ambulance story?
Yeah, we already did it yesterday.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we did it yesterday.
How did that go?
Dell found it pleasurable.
Could you hand me the ice pack, please? Did you go through those details? No. I need to use this ice pack as my finishing move. And he's looking people in the eyes like... Who sits there and waits for that to finish?
Well, for those of you who don't know, a guy called the 911, and then when he got in, he started pleasuring himself in the ambulance. Yeah, we had a few jokes about that.
I thought I had. I was about to say, how could John have missed this?
Yeah.
You didn't.
Listen, apparently, Lance, if you were missing, there was a Robert E. Lee statue that was removed from a Dallas park in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it ended up at a golf resort in West Texas, if you want to go visit it.
It was removed and ended up there?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently.
Is it Robert E. Lee Golf Course?
I guess that's probably an appropriate place to have a Robert E. Lee. More appropriate than, you know, in a park in Dallas. You know, put that big racist statue up in a golf course, I guess. I guess that would be more appropriate. Anyway, we are done. Charlie Polillo is next, but not before we talk about our good friends, Billy and Mary over at Aqueduct Plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan. And I know I'm going to need them because I trim the beard all the time. and then all the
do you
hair
think that's
going
to be a problem?
It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a real problem in the sink at some point.
It's just whiskers.
And so I'm going to have to call them. But here's the thing: these people are so nice. They're going to come to your home absolutely free, and no matter what it is. And by the way, if you have old pipes, you saw the freeze. Maybe you got away with it. Maybe you didn't. But if you're looking for a new pipe, it's the home of the one-day repipe. But anything that you need done, Aqueduct Plumbing is at your disposal. Easy to get to, thebenchplumbing.com. You can remember that, thebenchplumbing.com. And here's the deal. Plumbers, I don't know. All I know is I really trust these guys.
Yeah, I trust them very much. And I just want to make a personal plea for you. If you have a larger family like I do and you like taking showers, the tankless water heater is a must have. So if that's something you're considering, these are the people to go with to do that installation and do it properly the first time. It's thebenchplumbing.com.
Loud, our brand of baseball is great. Our outfield has plenty of muscle. Our guys can sure hit a ton. For Minute Maid thrills, watch them hustle. Catching hard hit balls on the run.
Bye, bitch.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.